It's the day after Thanksgiving, so we won't try to load you up with tips on how to cook better yams or make Mama Stamberg's cranberry relish. But I do have a recipe for you. Take a few Nobel laureates, blend in some scientific achievements that should not be reproduced, add a few dollops of an opera about the loves of an oxygen atom, and dust with the critical eye of the folks at the science humor magazine, The Annals of Improbable Research. Stir well in Harvard Sanders Theater and see what you get. It's the 13th First Annual Ig Nobel Prize Ceremony. It's our annual holiday special, so here are the highlights from the event held earlier this year, just a few weeks ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, literati, glitterati, and pseudo-intellectuals, may I introduce our master of ceremonies, the editor of the Annals of Improbable Research, Chief Airhead, Mark Abrams.
We are gathered here tonight to honor people whose achievements cannot or should not be reproduced. Every winner has done something that first makes people laugh, then makes them think. The Ig Nobel Prize ceremony is produced by the science humor magazine, The Annals of Improbable Research. It's proudly co-sponsored by the Harvard Radcliffe Science Fiction Association, the Harvard Computer Society, and by the Harvard Radcliffe Society of Physics Students. You will hear these names many times. And by the new book called The Ig Nobel Prizes, published by E.P. Dutton, ISBN 0525947531. Tonight, 10 prizes will be given. The achievements speak for themselves all too eloquently. And now, Miriam Bloom will deliver the traditional Ig Nobel welcome speech.
Welcome. Welcome.
The editors of the Annals of Improbable Research have chosen a theme for this year's ceremony. This year's theme is nano. Nano is a measure of size, 1/1,000,000th the size of a standard unit of time, length, volume, or whatever. Thus, in science jargon, a nanosecond is 10 to the minus 9th seconds. A nanometer is 10 to the minus 9th meters. A nanoliter is 10 to the minus 9th liters, and so forth. Nano is almost unthinkably small. And these days, nano is tray fashionable. Nano, nano, nano. It's become something to shout about. Now, get set for something special, the nano lectures. We have invited several of the world's top thinkers to tell us very briefly what they are thinking about. The first nano lecture will be delivered by Professor Lina Hao of Harvard University, the first human being who slowed light to a crawl and then to a dead stop. Her topic, slow light. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Secret recipe for beating light on your bike, atom refrigerator, candlestick atomic beam saw, Zeeman's law, resonant radiation pressure force, optical molasses polarization gradient, cooling 4D Mac and magnetic resonance spectroscopy, nano Kelvin, field effect transistor, avalanche breakdown, superfluid Bose-Einstein condensate, ultra high vacuum, laser illumination, polarization control, light pulse injection, entangled atoms, quantum interference, superposition, dark state, light pulse compression, superfluid shock waves, voila!
And now a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go!
Stop light, warm up exercise, real goal, time stop.
The next nano lecture will be delivered by Yan Emily Yuan, a junior at Boston Latin Secondary School. Her topic, memory. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Investigations in neuronal and non-neuronal memory encodings are usually based on memory acquired and retained during classical conditioning techniques, or specialized approaches such as autobiographical memory priming. combined with neurobehavioral, neuropathological, and neurophysiological studies of functional anatomic correlations such as hippocampal synaptic plasticity.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Remember, this will be on the test.
The next nano lecture will be delivered by Professor William Lipscomb of Harvard, the 1979 Nobel laureate in chemistry. His topic, chemistry. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
According to Tom Lehrer, hydrogen, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, nair, sodium, magnesium, aluminum, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, germanium, arsenic, selenium, bromine, rubidium, strontium, ytterbium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Cerium, praseodymium, neodymium, europium, terbium, locale. What is chemistry? What is chemistry? That's 3 words. The next is courtesy of Sherlock Holmes. It says, elementary, my dear Watson.
The next nano lecture will be delivered by Genevieve Reynolds, a senior at Harvard College. Her topic, education. First, a complete technical summary in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Education, learning to remember, but a whole lot more. Sensory integration, processing proprioceptive feedback, learning to build neural networks complex enough to handle complex thought, auditing sensory feedback, learning what you need to know. Do you need to study that page? I don't think so. And a whole lot of acronyms. We have SUPS, we have SIPS, we have underperforming schools. It's really all about learning to remember the acronyms.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Harvard University taught me that learning is...
The final nano lecture will be delivered by Dr. Eric Lander, the founder and director of the Whitehead Institute, MIT Center for Genome Research, director of the Broad Institute, one of the key pioneers in mapping and sequencing the entire human genome. His topic, the genome. First, a complete technical description in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Human Genome Project, biology's moonshot, 15 years, 6 countries, 20 centers, $3 billion, 3 billion letters, $1 per letter, such a deal, 23 chromosomes. Supposed to contain 100,000 genes, turns out to contain 30,000 genes, maybe 25,000, could be 40,000, check back with us next year. Supposed to have the answer to everything, absolutely everything, diabetes, asthma, cancer, evolution, populations, migration, life, death, taxes, even the Boston Red Sox, only problem is, no index.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Genome, bought the book, hard to read.
The Peace Prize. The Ig Nobel Peace Prize is awarded to Lal Behari of Uttar Pradesh, India, for a triple accomplishment. First, for leading an active life, even though he has been declared legally dead. Second, for waging a lively posthumous campaign against bureaucratic inertia and greedy relatives. And third, for creating the Association of Dead People. Accepting on behalf of Lal Behari, Here is Madhu Kapoor. And before she begins speaking, I would like to explain, we thought until 2 days ago we were going to have Lal Bihari here. Friends in India managed somehow to get a passport for him on Friday. All that remained at that point to get him here, and somebody was going to pay for his trip. All that remained was for the embassy in Mumbai to give the United States Embassy in Mumbai to give him a visa, but they denied him a visa. And so here, accepting on his behalf, reading a speech written by Lal Bihari, is Madhu Kapoor.
For the first time in the world, living people are honoring the living dead. Lal Bihari died in 1976, but he is feeling much better. When he was just a teenager, his unscrupulous uncles found a clever way to steal his family property. To his surprise, they had him declared legally dead. Being deceased, he could not get a job or any government help or even a court hearing. He couldn't even get arrested. To draw attention to his plight, he engaged in a variety of protests, including a run for the office. In 1994, he succeeded in his plight to be declared alive. Since then, he has continued to struggle for the rights for all the living dead in India. Lal Bihari recently wrote, "People used to mock me and call me ghost, dead man. My inner strength was awakened, and to keep my self-respect, I added dead to my name. I believe that 75% of the people are spiritually dead. With all the best wishes and many, many thanks, Mrtik Lal Bihari."
The Biology Prize. The Ig Nobel Biology Prize is awarded to C.W. Mollekar of Nature Museum, Rotterdam, the Netherlands, for documenting the first scientifically recorded case of homosexual necrophilia in the mallard duck.
Thank you. Quiet. Thank you very much for this award. Let me explain what I reported on. I saw two mallards. The thing is, both were of the male sex, and one of them was dead. It had hit the facade of the Natural History Museum Rotterdam, where I work as a curator. The living duck mounted the corpse and raped it for more than 1 hour. Then I couldn't stand it any longer. I collected the duck, dissected it, and indeed, it was of the male sex. Nobody had ever seen and reported this behavior in mallards. I did. And probably that's why I'm here. Thank you very much.
We're going to take a short break, but we will be back with more Ig silliness in just a moment. Stay with us. I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to our annual broadcast of highlights from the Ig Nobel Awards. Now back to the festivities. Remember, this program is pre-recorded, so please don't try to call in.
Here is a musical treat, the world premiere of a new nano opera called Adam and Eve. Those of you listening on radio can read the words on our website, www.improbable.com. There are four acts, one now, three later. The opera stars Margot Button, Jason McStoots, and Tara Hunt. Pianist Greg Neal, and the Nobel laureates and other scientists on our stage. Now here is our narrator, Karen Hopkin.
Thank you, Mark. Tonight's opera is a love story. Eve is a beautiful young scientist who falls in love with Adam. Adam is an oxygen atom. There are some obvious difficulties to be overcome. Staging this opera presented some difficulty for us. We were unable to find an experienced singer who is small enough to play the role of Adam. And so we'll make do with Jason McStoots. Jason, can you come out here and take a bow, please? Now, you have to imagine that Jason is actually the size of an oxygen atom. Our other main character, Eve, will be played by Margot Button. Margot, will you please come out here and take a bow? Margot is exactly the right size to play a beautiful scientist. Please imagine that Margot is actually the size you see here. And now we begin the opera. Adam is a poor, solitary Adam who yearns for companionship and true love. One day, Adam feels something strange and wonderful. Someone is looking at him through a scanning probe microscope. Perhaps, Adam wonders, perhaps that someone could be the woman of his dreams. Let's join little Adam now as this thought enters his tiny mind.
It's elementary, I know I'm just an atom, down in the lowest stratum of humblest society. From what I learned in school, I know I should be bonding. My parents are desponding because I'm not a molecule. My future seems so, so, so very minuscule. That in that crowd there is standing proud, one who has the heart.
for her, though he's just a little schmo. No wandering atom I, now that I have caught snatches of all my perfect matches, this very eve I will try somehow to catch this gigantic lady's eye. This lady's eye.
Now let's get it over with, ladies and gentlemen, the awarding of the 2003 Ig Nobel Prizes. We are giving out 10 prizes. The winners come from nations on four continents. This year's winners have truly earned their prizes. Karen, tell them what they've won.
Mark, this year, each winner will receive an Ig Nobel Prize.
What else?
A piece of paper saying they've won an Ig Nobel Prize.
And? Signed?
Oh, it's signed by the Nobel laureates.
What else?
Not a blessed thing.
How wonderful. Thank you, Karen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the coveted Ig Nobel Prize. This year, it is a bar of solid gold, 1 nanometer long. What you see here is a transparent plastic box. The gold bar is somewhere inside. And now, our winners. First, the engineering prize. The Ig Nobel Engineering Prize is presented to the late John Paul Stapp, the late Edward A. Murphy Jr., and George Nichols for jointly giving birth in 1949 to Murphy's Law, the basic engineering principle that if there are two or more ways to do something, and one of those ways can result in a catastrophe, someone will do it. Or, in other words, if anything can go wrong, it will. This acceptance speech will be in three parts. First, author Nick Spark accepting on behalf of John Paul Stapp's widow, Lily. Then Ed Murphy accepting on behalf of his father. And then George Nichols accepting via audio tape. Here is author Nick Spark.
All right, already something has gone wrong. Which was, I actually wasn't sure I was going to even make it this far. When one investigates the law. Anyway, I am Nick Spark, and I wrote an article in the Annals of Improbable Research about the origins of Murphy's Law, which some of you may have read, although my copy showed up missing four pages. So, anyway, I'm here accepting tonight for Colonel John Paul Stapp on behalf of his wife, Lily. Colonel Stapp was a famed biomechanics researcher who risked his life to make seatbelts in American automobiles a reality. And he was also a famous wit, and he said things such as Stapp's ironical paradox, the universal aptitude for ineptitude makes any human accomplishment an incredible miracle. He also said the malignant perversity of inanimate objects rivals the demonic havoc of catastrophic events in producing human frustration. And he may or may not have been responsible for Murphy's Law, or naming Murphy's Law, I should say, but from his perspective, Murphy's Law serves as a warning. Think about what might go wrong and what you can do in advance to prevent that from happening. With that in mind, I'd just like to point out that supposedly only 79% of Americans today wear seatbelts in their cars. I would urge you to do so in memory of Dr. John Paul Stapp and in defiance of Murphy's Law. Thank you.
Here is Edward A. Murphy III.
One more time. My father would have been honored to receive this award. In fact, he would have been thrilled even to be invited to an event like this. His entire career was devoted to making the results of tests probable. And so he would certainly have had a lot of fun with us anyway. He had a tireless devotion to experimentation and a relentless willingness to try again in order to achieve a result. So on his behalf, I want to thank Harvard University, the Harvard Computer Society, Harvard Radcliffe Science Fiction Association, the Harvard Radcliffe Society of Physics Students, and of course, the Annals of Improbable Research, and Mark Abrams. Thank you.
And here, via tape recording, is George Nichols.
Greetings to the 2003 Ig Nobel Awards program. The original Murphy's Law, if it can happen, it will happen, was born by the consequence of two critical mistakes made by Murphy during the fabrication and testing of his transducers. First, he did not have a quality assurance inspection of the workmanship. And second, he did not conduct a proof test to be certain that the transducers were picking up and producing a signal proportional to the load applied to the transducers.
Nichols. The Physics Prize. The Ig Nobel Physics Prize is presented to Jack Harvey, John Culvenor, Warren Payne, Steve Cowley, Michael Lawrence, David Stewart, and Robin Williams of Australia for their irresistible report and analysis of the forces required to drag sheep over various surfaces. Here is John Culvenor.
It was a little bit like that. My name's John Culvenor. I'm from Australia. I'm delighted to be here, and thanks to everyone who's given us such a, me and my family, such a warm welcome to this country. I'm really pleased to accept this award. It's a magnificent award, and really pleased to accept it on behalf of my colleagues. We did some pretty serious research into... I know you're finding it hard to believe, but...
Thanks, everyone. We were going to call this research 101 Things to Do with a Sheep, but I think I have to do that to stop now.
The Medicine Prize. The Ig Nobel Medicine Prize is presented this year to Eleanor McGuire, David Gaudian, Ingrid Johnsrud, Catriona Good, John Ashburner, Richard Frakowiak, and Christopher Frith of University College London for presenting evidence that the brains of London taxi drivers are more highly developed than those of their fellow citizens. Here is Eleanor McGuire.
Say to me, never mind the science, your work really just means you get a lot of free rides in taxis. Fortunately, that's never happened until today. For the first time in Cambridge, I got into a taxi, was chatting with a taxi driver, and he gave me 50% off my taxi fare for showing that taxi drivers are special. So I'm grateful to Cambridge for that and for this wonderful prize. Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.
And now, Act Two of the opera Adam and Eve. Here is our narrator, Karen Hopkin.
Back in Act One, the little oxygen atom, Adam, intuited that someone was watching him through an atomic force microscope. Here in Act Two, we discover that that someone is Eve, a lovely scientist. For Eve, looking down through her microscope, it's love at first sight. Let's join Eve as she ogles her little atom.
I'm Ira Flatto, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to our annual broadcast of highlights from the Ig Nobel Awards. Now back to the festivities.
The Ig Nobel Psychology Prize this year is awarded to Gian Vittorio Caprara and Claudio Barbarinelli of the University of Rome and Philip Zimbardo of Stanford University for their discerning report, Politicians' Uniquely Simple Personalities. Here is Philip Zimbardo.
On behalf of my Italian colleagues, I would like to say, Domo arigato gozaimashita. I am Dr. Z from Stanford. Thank you. And the research we did is very simple. We have found a rare exception to the big rule of five. The big rule of five says, when any of us judge ourselves or anyone else in the world, we use five personality factors. But when we judge politicians, either Italian or American, that gets reduced to the simplicity of two. So politicians think they're complex, but in fact, they're relatively simple. And I'm sure if we judged our current president, it would probably be reduced to only one factor. And you can figure out what that factor is. Thank you very much.
And now, Act Three of our opera, Adam and Eve. Here is our narrator, Karen Hopkin.
Thank you, darling. In Act Three of our opera, the little oxygen atom, Adam, devises a clever way for he and his soon-to-be beloved Eve to meet up. Let's join Adam now and listen to his little cogitations.
Oxygen atom is really quite
The Chemistry Prize. The Ig Nobel Chemistry Prize is awarded to Yukio Hirose of Kanazawa University for his chemical investigation of a bronze statue in the city of Kanazawa that fails to attract pigeons.
Thank you very much to all the people who are involved in the show, also to the guests, and members of audience. Especially, I thank you, the Birth of Kanazawa, where I live, because they give me the idea for my research. And also, I am here tonight in Cambridge. Crow, I mean the blackbirds are always away from the statue at Kenrock End. The beautiful historical garden in Japan. I made kappa alloy, which is the same component of the statue.
Please stop.
In future, we use the application of kappa alloy in many ways to keep the bird away. Thank you.
The Literature Prize, the Ig Nobel Literature Prize this year is awarded to John Trinkus of the Zicklin School of Business, New York City, for meticulously collecting data and publishing more than 80 detailed academic reports about specific annoyances and anomalies of daily life, such as what percentage of young people wear baseball caps with the peak facing to the rear rather than to the front, what percentage of pedestrians wear sports shoes that are white rather than some other color? What percentage of swimmers swim laps in the shallow end of a pool rather than the deep end? What percentage of automobile drivers almost, but not completely, come to a stop at one particular stop sign? What percentage of commuters carry attaché cases? What percentage of shoppers exceed the number of items permitted in a supermarket's express checkout lane? And what percentage of students dislike the taste of Brussels sprouts?
My field is ethnology. I didn't know what that was for a long time. I thought that had to do with bugs. Well, they say, no, that has to do with social counting type of thing. We do lots of social counting. Things where people say, there's a lot of it. I don't know what a lot is. They say, hey, I'm not sure how much. And times they say, we don't have a clue. So Trinkus goes in and says, let me get it, comes to kind of a number type of thing. And that's kind of what we do. The supermarkets we kind of like. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
I'm bored.
What a cute little girl.
The Economics Prize. This year's Ig Nobel Economics Prize is awarded to Carl Schwarzler and the nation of Liechtenstein for making it possible to rent the entire country for corporate conventions, weddings, bar mitzvahs, and other gatherings.
Thank you very much on behalf of my colleagues in Liechtenstein and nano country Liechtenstein. This is about everything you see there. It's only 61 square miles, and we have 80% mountains. It's a beautiful country, and you can rent it. So come and see us, or check our website, rentavillage.com, where you see what you will see there. Thank you very much.
The Interdisciplinary Research Prize is awarded to Stefano Ghirlanda, Liselotte Jansson, and Magnus Enquist of Stockholm University for their inevitable report, Chickens Prefer Beautiful Humans. All three authors are with us tonight.
I made a lot of false starts on this acceptance speech. But then I realized that perhaps nothing intelligent is expected. So I want to thank our animals and everyone who supported our research, including our families, universities, my mother who could come, my girlfriend who couldn't come, and everyone else. Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.
Now, the final act of the opera, Adam and Eve. Here is our narrator, Karen Hopkin.
When we last saw little Adam, he was hoping that Eve would suck him into her lungs, where he would then enter her bloodstream and travel to her brain. Alas, Eve was so excited that she hyperventilated, so that plan turned out to be a no-brainer. Here, in the final act of our opera, science will come to the rescue. The physics community, in a great triumph, has just figured out how to make a Bose-Einstein condensate. In a Bose-Einstein condensate, a huge number of atoms are cooled using laser beams to a temperature that is staggeringly cold. When that happens, as predicted by the theories of Satyendranath Bose and Albert Einstein in the year 1926, when that happens, all the atoms suddenly behave as if they are a single, gigantic atom. Let's watch as the scientists transform our little atom into a huge, handsome Bose-Einstein condensate.
Day off for the week, cools the atoms with laser beams, with physics way above the sun, comes the tremendous beams.
special frequency, a color, a potent piquancy. And now our jars create a serviceable atomic condensate.
Wraps it up for this year. Thanks for listening. Our program is produced by Annette Heist, Charles Berquist, and senior producer Karen Vergoth. We had help in this hour from recording engineer Miles Smith, Frank Cunningham, and Robin Moore in Cambridge, and audio engineers Matt Galick and Paul Masiello here in New York. If you'd like to write us, please send your letters to Science Friday, 1221 Avenue of the Americas, 37th floor, New York, New York, 10020. Or visit our website at sciencefriday.com for past editions of Science Friday. For more information about today's show and Science Friday's Kids Connection, free curricula for teaching with Science Friday. Have a great holiday weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.
Goodbye. Goodbye.